بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So this is lesson number 15, the 15th lesson on the explanation of Kitab al-Ubudiyya, the book relating to servitude by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, with some commentary from Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafizahullah. In the previous lesson, or the previous couple of lessons, we were looking at those people who use the argument of Al-Qadr, their belief in Al-Qadr and the fact that they affirm Al-Qadr, and using this as an argument to abandon acting upon the legislation, which is ash-shara', the legislation. And we said that this was from the ways of the pagans, the polytheists who would do a number of things. They went astray in a number of ways. First of all, they would innovate into the religion, affairs which are not from it, such as making something haram which is not haram, or adding things to the religion. And then they would also use Al-Qadr as an argument to justify their shirk and their disobedience. So following on from that, in the previous lesson, we looked at the reasons, what were some of the reasons why the pagans and the polytheists fell into that, and more specifically, how some of the Muslim sects followed in the same way, because there are some sects, specifically the Sufis, on the one hand, who innovate into the religion, and likewise they also use Al-Qadr as an argument, and likewise also groups who went astray in the creed, like the Mu'tazila, like the people of Kalam, you know, how they also innovated into the religion. So in the previous lesson, we looked at what was the thing, or what were the things that led them to fall into this. And so what was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is that, you know, people have inclinations, people have tastes, people have desires, people have things that make them feel good, that they are inclined towards. And likewise, they have a certain nurturing on account of which they are inclined to opinions, or are inclined to, you know, certain views. So on the basis of this, what they do is that they use those things, which is, you know, either it's like analogy, or it's something that feels good, something like an inclination, a desire. And they make that to be the basis. They make that to be the basis. And they put it ahead of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And then, you know, once they do that, essentially they end up following their own desires rather than following the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And then when they follow their desires in this way, they then justify whatever innovations they are acting upon. So we mentioned from the previous discussion that as for a believer, the way he is nurtured upon certain traits where, for example, he loves Allah and His Messenger more than, you know, that which is besides them, and he loves only for the sake of Allah, and he hates to be, you know, to revert to kufr, just as much as he hates to be thrown into the hellfire. So in other words, a believer, how is a believer nurtured? A believer is nurtured to be free from desires and tastes and love of things and things like that. Rather, it is all love and desire for Allah and His Messenger. Whereas many, many people, we see that they, you know, the way that they are brought up and the way they are nurtured, they develop certain tastes and inclinations, whether it be towards food or drink or clothing or to habitation or to, you know, the culture in which they live or things that, you know, please them. And so these things now become the basis. They become the basis. And likewise, it might be opinions. It might be an education in which they developed certain, you know, ways of thinking and opinions and you know, the use of the intellect. And so what they do is they make that to be the foundation, and then they look at the religion through that foundation, rather than the religion being first and being the actual basis for everything. So we looked at that and we mentioned some of the hadiths in that regard that Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. And we said that that's why you see certain people, they are naturally inclined towards, you know, innovations such as singing and dancing as a form of worship. And they are like to listen to poetry and they like to have their emotions stirred and things of that nature. And we said that these are things that are not really... These are things which are common to everybody, right? They are common to a person whose emotions are stirred by something which is falsehood. Like people's emotions are stirred by singing and music, right? So this issue of having your emotions stirred and moved, then this is common to lots of different people. And, you know, it is something that must be based on the Quran and the Sunnah and not upon people's tastes and desires. So then we mentioned some verses from the Quran, the verses that were mentioned by Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, about not following the desires and following the truth that is revealed from Allah Azza wa Jal, and, you know, verses which were of this, you know, similar to that. So in essence, these people, they became misguided because they innovated into the religion based upon opinion, tastes, desires, inclinations. And then they also justified this by using Al-Qadr, the divine decree, as an argument. So in today's lesson, we are going to continue, inshallah ta'ala, and we are going to look at some more groups who went astray in, you know, the same way. So Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he continues, and this is the start of today's lesson. He says, وَمِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ طَائِفَةٌ هُمْ أَعْلَاهُمْ قَدْرًا وَهُمْ مُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِالدِّينِ فِي أَدَاءِ الْفَرَائِدِ الْمَشْهُورَةِ وَاجْتِنَابِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ الْمَشْهُورَةِ لكن يغلطون في ترك ما أمروا به من الأسباب التي هي عبادة ظانين أن العارف إذا شهد القدر أعرض عن ذلك. So what's happening here is, what's happening here is, if we go back to a previous lesson, we looked at a group of people who basically they, well, in fact, if we go further before that, we need to go back in a number of steps, because what we are doing is we are looking at different categories of people. So the first category of people that we were speaking of are the pagans and the polytheists. And so from their qualities was that they would innovate into the religion and, you know, affairs of shirk and affairs of things that they would make haram or halal or things like that, wajib and things like that, from their own selves. And then they would also use Al-Qadr as an argument to justify why they are not following the truth. to justify their shirk and to justify their disobedience. So that's the polytheists. And then from those who ascribe to Islam, there are also those like the Sufis, the extremist Sufis, those who have a similar saying. They basically say that because of our belief in Al-Qadr and everything which takes place by way of Al-Qadr, including sin and disobedience, then if Allah has decreed it, He must be pleased with it. And if He's pleased with it, therefore it means that the various acts of disobedience and all the various types and forms of worship done by anybody and everybody, all of them must be valid. And so therefore we do not need to follow the Sharia. We do not need to follow the legislation of Allah. Rather, this is only for the common people who don't really understand these truths. Whereas for us, we understand these truths. We are the elite, we are intellectual, we know that only Allah exists, right? He is everything and everything is Allah. And so there's no basis to act upon a legislation. So they outright deny abiding by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal by way of this doctrine, right? A doctrine of the unity of existence and what follows on from that. So this is the extremists among them. Right, they justified the abandonment of the Sharia, and they said that there is a zahir, there is the outward and the apparent, which is for the common people, and there is a batin, like an inward, hidden, esoteric truth, which is only for the elite people. Right, so we have this group, right? So this is now group number two. The first group are the polytheists and the mushriks of the past. Right, and then you have those who followed their way from those who ascribe to Islam, and from them are these extremist. They are the, the extremist Sufis who, basically went along pretty much in exactly the same way. And then after that, there is another group that we are discussing. And this group is, as mentioned by Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that these people, what they did is that they didn't deny abiding by the Sharia. Rather, they fulfill the obligations, the well-known obligations like the prayer and the fasting and so on and so forth. And they kept away from the well-known prohibitions, and they, the well-known prohibitions. However, they said that we do not need to follow the asbab, right? We do not need to follow the ways and means which Allah has legislated. For example, things like dua, things like tawakkul, we don't need to do that. We don't need to resort to these things. And why did they say that? It comes back down to the same issue of Al-Qadr, the same issue of the divine decree. Because they argued, why do we need to resort to tawakkul? Why do we need to make dua to Allah when whatever He's decreed to come to us is going to come to us anyway? Why do we need to do these things and follow the ways and means? So in other words, the argument here now is along the lines that if Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed sustenance for me, for it to come to me, then why do I need to take the ways and means? It's going to come to me. So therefore, I don't need to work. I don't need to, use the means of subsistence, because whatever's going to come to me is going to come to me. So I don't need to take the ways and means. That is only for the common people. It is for the common people who need to do that. They are the ones who need to, make dua to Allah for their needs, for them to make tawakkul, for them to actually physically take the ways and means, because they are in need of that. They are the common people. This is their way. But it is not for people like us, because We observe the decree of Allah. We affirm it and we observe it, and Allah's, you know, decree is the truth, and whatever comes is by way of Allah's decree. We observe that. And so whoever knows that whatever comes by way of Allah's decree is going to come, then he does not need to take any of the ways and means. Whether those ways and means are ways and means in the Sharia, so for example, things like dua, making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, and making tawakkul, and taking the ways and means, such as, you know, the various voluntary acts of worship and dua to Allah for your needs and so on and so forth, or whether it is the worldly affairs, in the worldly affairs. So here this means earning, you know, to make a living, and all the various other things that you would do in order to acquire the worldly benefits. So basically they are saying that whoever truly understands Al-Qadr, then he does not need to resort to these means. And as you can see, this is a great mistake also, because now this is a mistake in relation to the asbab. The asbab are the ways and means which Allah has created by way of which things happen, right? By way of which a person enters paradise or hellfire, or by way of which a person, you know, pursues his needs in the, in terms of the creation, in terms of the worldly affairs. So the asbab, which are the ways and means, they are part and parcel of al-qadr. They do not clash with al-qadr. And this is the fundamental mistake being made by this group of people, right? So remember, this group of people is not saying, they are not saying that because we believe in the decree of Allah, therefore we do not need to worship him, therefore we do not need to follow the laws and guidelines, this is just for the common people. They are not saying that. That is a different group, right? This group is saying, yes, we worship Allah with the major obligations and we keep away from the major, you know, unlawful things. However, when it comes to taking the ways and means in order to fulfill your objectives, right, then we don't need to do that. That's only for the weak people. That's only for the common people, right? So we don't need to make dua and make tawakkul and adopt the worldly means, such as getting a job, earning a living, taking precautions, things like that. We don't need to do that because we only witness pure qadr. We only observe pure qadr. Whatever comes to us is going to come to us, right? And the means and so on and so forth is, you know, is irrelevant. We don't need to take them. So this is a tremendous mistake in the issue of al-qadr and the ways and means that Allah Azza wa Jal has either legislated in his religion or which he has created in his creation. And so this is what we are going to continue to speak about, inshallah ta'ala, in this lesson. So commenting upon this paragraph, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, he explains that basically these Sufis that we are still speaking of, they are still from the various groupings of the Sufis. There's a group amongst them who actually do bring the acts of worship, and they do keep away from the prohibitions, and but obviously they're not as astray as the other group. But what they do is they say that there's no value to the asbab, to the ways and means, right? They say, look, there's no point in making dua, because whatever's going to come to you by qadr is going to come to you anyway. So in essence, they are abolishing the ways and means that Allah Azza wa Jal himself has commanded. And this is pure misguidance. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, he has ordered us to take the asbab, to adopt the ways and means, those which are beneficial in religion and for the hereafter, and those which are beneficial in terms of the world. And to take these ways and means is actually part and parcel of Al-Qadr. It is part and parcel in believing in Al-Qadr. So remember, these people are not saying what the previous group said. The previous group said that Al-Qadr clashes directly with the Sharia, right? We don't need to follow any commands and prohibitions at all, full stop. Because whatever happens from Al-Qadr, Allah is pleased with it, He wants it, He desires it, and so therefore everything that happens is the truth. So for example, the shirk of a mushrik is the truth. The sin of the sinner is the truth. The lie of the liar is truth. Meaning that since Allah has decreed it and willed it, then this is Al-Qadr and we accept Al-Qadr, we do not deny Al-Qadr. And so therefore it clashes with the notion of there being a Sharia, a legislation which we have to follow. Right? So this is what the previous group said. Whereas what these people are saying is that yes, we abide by the commands and prohibitions and we do the acts of worship and so on and so forth, the major acts of worship. But as for the asbab, like the ways and means, we don't need them. We don't need them. Right? So they're not claiming a clash or a conflict between the Sharia and Al-Qadr. Rather, they are just saying that to adopt the means, if you start adopting the means, then it means that you are denying Al-Qadr. So I'll give you an illustration of this. I'll give you an example of this in the world. And likewise in the religion. So in the world, it's like, for example, a person, when he gets into a car and he drives the car, and he says, well, you know, I don't need to put the seatbelt on, nor do I need to take any precautions such as checking the tires are inflated correctly and, you know, things of that nature. Why? Because this would be denying Al-Qadr. Because whatever is going to come to me is going to come to me irrespective of what I do. So if I was to wear a seatbelt, and if I was to ensure the car was safe to drive, it's as if I am denying or challenging Al-Qadr, right? So this now is incorrect. This is a faulty understanding, right? And this is a denial of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has created ways and means by which objectives and end goals are achieved, right? So in this case, taking precautions is from the ways and means by which whatever Allah has decreed for you is going to come to you, right? So affirmation of the ways and means and acting upon the ways and means, employing them, using them, adopting them, this in no way does it mean that you are denying Al-Qadr. Likewise, in terms of the religion, if you have a need in the world, for example, and you decide to make dua to Allah, oh Allah, I am in need of such and such relief, I am in need of such and such a favor or benefit, I am in need of such and such, then according to these people, by you making this dua, you are basically clashing with Al-Qadr. It is as if you are rejecting Al-Qadr. But this is also wrong. Because dua, to make dua to Allah for the needs of the world or the needs of the hereafter, Allah Azza wa Jal himself made it to be from the means by which he brings to you from his decree what he is going to bring to you. Right? So this is because the asbab, the ways and means, are part and parcel of Al-Qadr. They are not outside of Al-Qadr. They are not alien to Al-Qadr. Rather, they are part and parcel. They are, you know, the whole of Allah's creation works by way of the asbab, by way of the ways and means. There is no thing in Allah's creation except that it needs something else. Right? So this is, you know, so Allah's creation is built upon the asbab, the ways and means which are connected to each other, right? And you cannot do anything except with something else. Like, you need air to breathe. Obviously, breathing is not voluntary. You know, Allah has put an instinct in you to breathe. But the point being that life is by way of another sabab, which is air, and likewise water, and likewise sunlight. All these things come together. And so, in the same way, when a person pursues his needs and pursues his goals in this life or the hereafter, then Allah Azza wa Jal has placed the asbab, the ways and means by which he does that. By which he does that. And this is very apparent and very clear. For example, can you have a child without marriage? Of course you can't. You don't sit around and say, well, if Allah has decreed for me to have a child, I will have a child. Why do I need to get married? So as you know, this is the saying of a fool. This is the saying of a foolish person. Or a person who says, if Allah wills for my thirst to disappear, then why do I need to drink? Again, this is the saying of a fool, because in Allah's creation, to remove thirst, He created a sabab, a cause, a means, which is water and the property of water, and then you drinking that water. So this is how Allah's creation operates. It is built upon the asbab, and it is exactly the same as it relates to the religion, because there are asbab in the religion, right? By way of which you enter into paradise and save yourself from hellfire and bring for yourself safety and security in the life of this world. There are asbab which Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated in His Sharia. And so from those things include things like making dua and tawakkul upon Allah, taking the ways and means. All of this is part and parcel of the religion, and it is part and parcel of the asbab. And so this mistake made by this group of people is also a very, very serious mistake, and it leads to mistakes in tawheed itself. It leads to mistakes in tawheed itself. When you know, deny the asbab and you do not adopt the asbab, it leads to mistakes in al-qadr, and likewise in the affair of tawheed as well. So Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan continues to explain these people, what they, you know, why they held this particular view. And so he says, commenting upon the speech of Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, they said that there's no need to take the asbab because we have al-qadr. Why do I need to resort to the asbab, to the ways and means, when we know there is al-qadr? Because if Allah has decreed something, then the causes and the means will not be of any benefit. And they argue that this is just the way of the common people whose iman is weak. Whose iman is weak. And, like, again, we can see the weak, to give an illustration, this would be, for example, when if these people see someone getting into the car and putting on the seatbelt and taking the precautions, they would say, well, your iman is weak. Why are you putting the seatbelt on? Why don't you, you know, it's the believe in the qadr of Allah. So this is a faulty understanding. This is twisted. This is not correct. Because taking the asbab is from qadr. Right? It is part and parcel of al-qadr. It is not outside of al-qadr. So you do not speak with this type of speech. You do not say, you know, why are you so weak in iman? Why are you not, you know, why are you wearing a seatbelt? Don't you believe in Allah's qadr? This is wrong. This is twisted. It's a bit like saying, why are you entering the battle, the war, with, you know, a sword or a shield or a rifle? Why are you entering the battle with these weapons? Don't you know? Don't you believe in al-qadr? If Allah has decreed for you to win and defeat the enemy, you will defeat the enemy. Why are you so weak? Why are you carrying this shield and this sword or this rifle or whatever it might be? So again, this is absurd. This is ridiculous. So this is the saying of these people. They basically claim that it is weakness in iman to resort to the means, and it is to, you know, have doubt in al-qadr or to deny al-qadr, and all of this is wrong. It is faulty, and it is incorrect. And so the Shaykh continues to explain that this mistake that they made, it's a mistake because we find that there is no such thing except that it has causes, it has means, right? So when the cause is found, then the effect will also be found by Allah's permission. And when the cause is not found, then the effect will not be found. So for example, in order for someone to have a child, they have to have relations, right? You can't sit around and say, if Allah has decreed for me to have a child will come. This is absurd, right? So having a child, Allah has created causes, means for that to happen. And that is to have relations within the context of marriage. And the result is obviously in the hand of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is under the control of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if you do take the means, it does not mean that a child will result. It is, it will returns back to the will of Allah and the permission of Allah and other things which are also from the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, which are required. So the point being, there is absolutely no clash between taking the asbab and being in servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no clash between taking the asbab and believing in al-qadr, in the divine decree. Because these ways and means are from the divine decree. It is how Allah has created His creation. And it is what Allah has legislated in His legislation. Right, so there's no conflict between any of this whatsoever. So remember, the first group said, Al-Qadr clashes with the Sharia. Right, this is the first misguided group who followed the way of the polytheists. And this group is saying that to adopt the ways and the means, they're not talking about the obligations like prayer and fasting and keeping away from the major prohibitions like, drinking, fornicating, gambling, and like the major sins, lying and so on and so forth. They're not speaking about those things. They're speaking about other things like taking the ways and means, right? So dua is from the ways and means in the religion. And then there are ways and means in the worldly sense. So this is what they are saying. And all of this is completely and utterly false. And so this is what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says. He says that these people, they said this, ظَانِينَ أَنَّ الْعَارِفَ إِذَا شَهِدَ الْقَدَرَ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ مِثْلَ مَنْ يَجْعَلُ التَّوَكُّلْ مِنْهُمْ أَوِ الدُّعَاءُ وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مَقَامَاتِ الْعَامَةِ دُونَ الْخَاسَةِ. So some of these people who say this, they say that tawakkul and dua, this is just for the common people. It's not for the elite special people. And this is built upon, their false idea. بِنَاءً عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ شَهِدَ الْقَدَرِ عَلِمَ أَنَّ مَا قُدِّرَ سَيَكُونَ فَلَا حَاجَةَ إِلَىٰ ذَلِكَ وَهَذَا غَلَطٌ عَظِيمٌ. So this is built upon their notion or their idea that the person who truly accepts and observes al-qadr in everything that takes place, then he will know for sure that whatever Allah has decreed will definitely come to be. So therefore, there's no need for these things. There's no need for these ways and means. And this is a tremendous mistake. So then, Shaykh al-Islam continues now, and he's now going to speak a little bit on things and their causes. Things and their causes. So he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قدر الأشياء بأسبابها كما قدر السعادة والشقاوة بأسبابها. So he says, for Allah Azza wa Jal has, meaning in terms of the creation, He has decreed things to happen by way of their causes. Just as he has decreed happiness and wretchedness, meaning in the hereafter, by way of its causes. Right? So let's stop here and explain this. So he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ الْأَشْيَاءَ بِأَسْبَابِهَا. Indeed, Allah has decreed things by way of their causes. So for example, you have a tree and you have leaves on the tree, and one of the ways that the leaves fall off the tree is by way of the wind. Right? So the wind is one of the ways by which the leaves fall off the tree. Another way is when the sun, due to its motion, it departs, and then you have autumn and then you have winter. And so therefore the tree becomes weakened, and as a result of this weakening, the leaves wither and they become weak and they begin to fall off. And in fact, the wind could also be a means of that as well. So everything that happens in Allah's creation is by way of the asbab, everything. So when you eat food, for example, your hunger is removed by way of food, right? And your vision is strengthened by certain types of nutrients. And your hair grows by way of certain types of nutrients. And, and so on and so forth. Basically, everything in Allah's creation is by way of the asbab. And Allah has decreed it to be like that. So that's in terms of the creation. And as for الشقاوة والسعادة, which is your happiness and wretchedness in the hereafter, then likewise, this also has asbab. This also has, ways and means. Now, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, he comments upon this. Before we look at some of the proofs that Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, let's just look at the commentary of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. He says, commenting upon this sentence, he says, everything has a cause. Everything has a means or a cause behind it. So for example, happiness and entering paradise, it has its means. It has its causes. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah will say, enter into paradise because of what you used to do, because of the deeds that you used to do. So meaning that these deeds, the righteous deeds, are actually a means. They are a cause of you entering into paradise. And without action, you cannot enter paradise. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Do you think that you will enter into paradise and there has not come to you the likes of what came to those before you? They were afflicted with hardship, with calamity and hardship. And likewise, the statement of Allah, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you think that you will enter paradise without Allah knowing those who strive amongst you, and without Him knowing who is the patient amongst you? So again, you cannot enter paradise if you do not bring the asbab, the ways and the means, which are righteous actions and striving in the path of Allah and patience and so on and so forth. So therefore, a person must bring the asbab. And the asbab here is al-amal as-salih, is the righteous action. And likewise, entering into hellfire also has its reasons and causes. Entering into hellfire, it is disbelief, it is sins, it is disobedience, right? So paradise and hellfire have their ways and their means. Now, to deny the ways and the means, to deny, for example, that you enter paradise by way of certain causes, and to deny that you enter into And to deny that you enter into hellfire by way of causes, and to deny that the worldly needs that you pursue, that they come to you by way of asbab, to deny all of this is a tremendous, mighty mistake. It is mughalata, it is jahl, it is great, you know, confusion, a mistake, and it is ignorance. And despite this, these people who hold on to this doctrine, they somehow wrongly think that they have reached some peak of perfection. It is as if they believe that they have reached the peak of perfection by thinking that they are not like the common people. They don't need to make dua to Allah. They don't need to take the, you know, the worldly causes, the ways and means, in order to, you know, achieve their objectives, right? This is just for the common people, and they somehow wrongly think that they are now some, you know, that they are superior, and that they've reached the peak in knowledge, and they've reached the peak in guidance, and they've reached the peak in iman by way of this misguidance that they are upon. This is incorrect, because Allah Azza wa Jal Himself has commanded in the Quran taking of the asbab. And the whole Quran is full of evidences that Allah Azza wa Jal has created asbab for everything, that He has created ways and means for everything. For example, in relation to battle and war, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَأُعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ الرِّبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Prepare for them that which, whatever you are able of, you know, strength, power, and of, you know, the horses that you use, meaning in battle, you know, prepare them. So this is now taking the means. And similarly, فَعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal said, so worship Him and place your reliance upon Him, meaning make tawakkul. So tawakkul, to rely upon Allah by taking the means, is from the means. Likewise, He said, I know this is an example from the world, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. So He said, He is the one who made the earth for you. You know, He subjected the earth for you. So walk in its paths and eat from its provision. To Him is the return. So here, وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ, eat from its sustenance. This now is a command to take the ways and means in order to pursue one's livelihood, to pursue one's sustenance. And so you don't sit around, like the Shaykh says, you don't sit around and you say, if Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed rizq to come to me, it is going to come to me. So I will sit in my house until it comes to me. And so he abandons all of the ways and means. And likewise, we see that the birds, even the birds do not, you know, act like this. The birds, they leave in the morning and they go out looking for their subsistence, finding their sustenance, and then they come back with their bellies full because they take the means. And so this is because Allah Azza wa Jal has made it from the fitrah of His creatures, of all of His creatures, from the animals and other than them, to go and pursue their livelihood by taking the asbab, right? A lion does not sit there waiting for the prey to come to him, right? And nor does any other, you know, any other creature. They go out and they take the asbab, obviously within the limits of however Allah Azza wa Jal has created them and the instinct which He has given to every creature. So Ibn Taymiyyah then goes on to bring some evidences to show that entering paradise and entering hellfire has its asbab. So this is the well-known famous hadith in which the Messenger of Allah, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ لِلْجَنَّةِ أَهْلًا خَلَقَهَا لَهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي أَصْلَابِ آبَائِهِمْ وَبِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ يَعْمَلُونَ. He said, indeed, Allah has created for paradise its people. He created it for them whilst they were in the loins of their forefathers. And by doing the deeds, they will act with the deeds of the people of paradise. So here, the Prophet ﷺ, he told the companions that since he told them that Allah has already written in the decrees, right? He's already written that in the decrees. So the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, أَفَلَا نَدَعُ الْأَمَلُ وَنَتَّكِلُ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ Shall we not abandon action and just rely on what has been written? And so he said, فَقَالَ لَا He said, no. اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ He said, no. Act. Because everyone, it will be facilitated for him for the destination for which he was created. As for the one who is from the people of happiness, then the actions of the people of happiness will be facilitated for him. And as for the one who is from the people of wretchedness, then the actions of the people of wretchedness will be facilitated for him. So here in this hadith, this is an affirmation of the asbab. That in Allah's knowledge, He knows where every person is destined to, whether paradise or hellfire. It is written for him. It is in Allah's knowledge. It is written down. And at the same time, the companions, when they said, well, shall we just rely upon the book? Shall we just rely upon what Allah knows about our destination and about what He has written? Right? So, this is kind of like the argument that we were discussing before. But the Messenger of Allah, he said, no, rather you should act, you should work, because everyone, the destination to which he will go, it will be made easy for him, it will be facilitated for him by way of what he does. So this now is a clear proof for the affirmation of the asbab, that a person enters paradise by way of his actions, conditioned by Allah's mercy, of course, along with Allah's mercy, and likewise a person enters hellfire by way of his deeds, of his evil deeds, his shirk, his kufr, his disobedience, his sin, and so on and so forth. So the Shaykh, Hafidhahullah Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, he comments upon this and brings some more evidences. He says, for example, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says in the Quran, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى As for the one who gives, meaning in charity, and who fears, has taqwa of Allah, and who believes, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى Who believes in وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى Then he says that we shall make easy for him that which is the path of ease. We shall make it easy for him. So here this person is actually doing good deeds. He is charitable. He fears Allah. You know, he believes in the unseen and what is to come in paradise and things like that. Then Allah makes the path easy for him. So all of these are the asbab. They are from the asbab. And likewise, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى As for the one who is stingy and, you know, he sees himself as self-sufficient, meaning that he doesn't give charity and he sees himself as rich and self-sufficient. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى And who rejects, you know, belief in the hereafter and paradise and so on and so forth. Then we shall make easy for him the path to difficulty, a hardship. So all of these are asbab. These are asbab. These are ways and means, ways towards happiness or ways towards wretchedness. So therefore to act and to work is vital. It is from the asbab. It is from the ways and means by which a person enters into paradise. And so likewise, also from the evidence for this point is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, reported by Muslim, كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها. That every person, you know, he arises and he sells his soul. So either he فمعتقها أو موبقها. So either he saves it, either he delivers it, or he causes it to perish. And likewise, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. For every soul is what it earns, and against it is what it earns. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah continues and he says, فَمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَةٌ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ فَهُوَ عِبَادَةٌ وَالتَّوَكُّلٌ مَقْرُونٌ بِالْعِبَادَةِ كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَاعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ وفي قوله قل هو ربي لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت إليه متاب. And likewise وقول شعيب عليه السلام عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. So here Shaykh al-Islam brings a number of verses, and in these verses he says that that whenever Allah Azza wa Jal commands you to take the asbab, that itself becomes worship. It becomes ibadah. And tawakkul, reliance upon Allah by taking the means, has been tied to worship itself in the Quran. So for example, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded, فَاعْبُدْهُ, worship Allah, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, and place your reliance upon him, which means worship Allah and take the asbab, take the ways and means which are part and parcel of tawakkul. And likewise, قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ إِلَيْهِ مَآب. Say, he is my Lord, there is none worthy of worship except him. Upon him have I placed my reliance, and to him is the return. And similarly, the statement of Shu'aib, عليه السلام عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. Upon him do I place my reliance, and to him do I turn in penitence. So we see that tawakkul is tied to the various acts of worship, the ibadah and inaba and things like that. And so therefore it shows that taking the asbab is something that is commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal. Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, he mentioned some more examples, and we can conclude our lesson with this today, inshallah, on this point. And he says, he mentions the ayah in Surah Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make for him in an exit, a way out. So the taqwa of Allah has now been made a sabab for the makhraj, for the way out of difficulty. And similarly in the same verse, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make for him, he'll make his affair easy for him. So at-taqwa has now been made a sabab. It has been made a sabab for you to be saved from difficulties and hardships in the life of the world. So Allah has made that to be a sabab. And it is an action from amongst the actions. So just like, for example, in the creation, Allah has made activity, work, effort to be the means by which you earn a provision, a livelihood. And just as he has made water to remove the thirst, right? These are worldly asbab. Then likewise, in the Sharia, there are other things which he has legislated, such as taqwa, piety of Allah, piety with respect to Allah. He has made that to be a means of your hardships and difficulties in the world to be removed. Right? So again, this is from the asbab. There are asbab which are in the Sharia, and there are asbab which are, you know, creational, which are to do with the creation. And then the Shaykh goes on to mention very briefly the same verses that Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, and comments upon them. قل هو ربي لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت عليه توكلت is the سبب وإليه متاب and to him shall be the return, meaning to him is the return from sins by obeying him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. So indeed I am oft forgiving for the one who repents and then believes and does righteous deeds and then pursues guidance. So here these are the asbab, these are the ways and means, the one who repents and the one who believes, affirms his faith and does righteous deeds and pursues guidance. What is the end result? It is Allah Azza wa Jal will give him forgiveness. So here there are the asbab. Al-maghfirah, forgiveness has asbab. It is tawbah, iman. It is to pursue guidance. It is righteous action. All of this is clear in the Quran. And the Quran is full of these types of statements. So therefore, a person who says, I am going to abandon the means and rely only upon al-qadr, and he thinks that this is the peak of perfection, then this is from the height of misguidance. This is from the height of ignorance. And likewise, Shu'aib, alayhi salam, who said, indeed, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. Right, so my success is only by Allah, so I rely upon him, and to him shall I return. To him do I, you know, turn in penitence. So look at first of all how he mentioned the result. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The success from Allah. Success does come from Allah. But what are its causes? So Shu'aib then went on to say, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. So I rely upon him and I turn in penitence to him. I turn in remorse to him. So making inaba and making tawakkul, which is the reliance of the heart after taking the ways and means, right? This is the way that you get tawfiq from Allah, success from Allah. So this is the saying of a prophet, Shu'aib, alayhi salam. So this is the way of the prophets. The prophets took the asbab. How can these people from these various factions of the Sufis come along and say that we do not take the asbab because that is a deficiency. Rather, we believe in al-qadr, right? This is a great, tremendous mistake in the religion. Rather, the asbab, taking the ways and the means, are from the decree of Allah. They are part and parcel of the decree of Allah, Azza wa Jal, and they cannot be separated from the decree of Allah, Azza wa Jal. So this is where we end today's lesson. And so, as you can see, that these types of mistakes can be very, very serious and they can lead to tremendous misguidance, as has actually happened in history. So the reason why we are discussing this is because this has taken place in history amongst those who ascribe to Islam and they followed the way of those former polytheists and pagans who fell into the same thing. And so with that, we'll conclude our lesson there today, and inshallah we'll continue the discussion with some other groups and some other factions, you know, less than the ones that we've mentioned, but they also make mistakes in this field. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll look at that in the next lesson, and with that we'll conclude here.